This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We are just going to dig right in. Too much to talk about, not really enough time. Catherine Rempel is at the Washington Post. Jordan Holman is at the New York Times. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
So you both will get a whack at this question. And the gist of it is, was I hearing Neel Kashkari, the president of the Minneapolis Fed, correctly when I interviewed him this week? We're going to play two cuts of tape, and then we're going to talk about it. The gist of both of them was I was asking him how the economy is doing, does he think, and what is the Fed going to do on interest rates, as one does with a Fed president. Here's the first piece of tape.
Investment in residential real estate has held up remarkably well, and remarkably, construction jobs have continued to climb. Normally, I would have thought raising rates this much would have led to a lot of losses of construction jobs. That makes me question, is monetary policy, do we have both feet on the brakes or just one foot on the brakes?
Okay, 2 feet on the brakes or 1 foot on the brakes. Now, here's the second piece of tape.
We keep getting surprised quarter after quarter at how strong GDP growth is and how strong consumer spending is. Those are good problems to have, but it makes me question, are we putting as much downward pressure on demand as we would have assumed given where interest rates are?
There will be industry types who will hear that last sentence you uttered. Are we putting enough downward pressure on demand? And they will hear, oh man, Kashkar's thinking a hike. He's not thinking a cut.
Okay, so you two are the industry types to which I will pose this question. Did I hear Neel Kashkari right? Catherine Rempel, what do you think? That it sort of seems like he's not thinking maybe a cut anytime soon. He came back at the end of that second question and said, well, let's just hold things where they are. But how did you read it?
I think that's a perfectly valid reading of what he said. And to be clear, it's not just Kashkari. There are other members of the FOMC who have made comments recently suggesting that they don't want to cut rates too soon. If you look at the FOMC minutes, the Federal Open Market Committee minutes, there were a bunch of comments or you know, anonymized comments suggesting that they're concerned about cutting rates too soon rather than too late. You look at market forecasts, and markets a month ago thought that we were due for a rate cut as of March. And today there's almost, you know, less than 5%, or at least last I looked, less than 5% percent chance of a cut. Now, will the next move be a hike? I think that's still unlikely, but I think they're floating the idea that it's within the realm of possibility.
Wow. Jordan, what do you think?
Well, I think about what he mentioned about the strong GDP, and then that makes me think about consumer spending. And when you look at the Walmart earnings this week, you get kind of two sides of the coin. The sales there were really strong, but you need to look at that more higher income shoppers are shopping at Walmart. So there does seem like there's pressure to some households where you wouldn't think that was the case maybe 2 years ago. So that's an interesting dichotomy happening.
Well, so look, Catherine, number one, if the next move is a hike, I think people's heads are going to explode. But also, is it possible that monetary policy just isn't working the way it's supposed to anymore?
You say anymore. I think there has always been something somewhat mysterious about how monetary policy works. Like, we don't exactly understand the mechanisms behind it. You talk to macroeconomists, and they can say, you know, generally it depresses demand, but they don't know on what time frame. They don't, you know, the long and variable lags, to use the term of art.
Right.
And we don't entirely understand still how it filters through the economy, how much of it's about the rate hikes themselves, how much of it's about expectations of future rate hikes and Fed credibility, and all of the above. So the idea that it's not working precisely, I guess the question is, how is it supposed to work? And I think we candidly don't entirely know. And there are also weird things going on right now, too. It's not just about the Fed, right? I mean, like, we're coming out of this once-in-a-century pandemic. You have a lot of industrial policy that's probably partly contributing to that strong construction hiring, by the way, that Kashkari mentioned. So there are a lot of other variables going on.
Catherine, don't you think it's remarkable, though, that, I mean, to a layperson, that we don't really know how monetary policy works? Come on, man.
Well, we have some idea, but, you know, I think that there's not this finely grained knowledge that ideally we would have at our
Right.
fingertips that, you know, the experts, the actual macroeconomists would be able to tell us on what time frame this tool is supposed to work and how. We just have general patterns. We know it's a blunt instrument, and it generally cools demand, but exactly how and in what ways, it's still a little bit magical and mysterious.
I've told this story before. I was doing a panel with Janet Yellen once when she was off the Fed and before she got to Treasury. And I asked her why inflation at that point was so low. They hadn't been able to get it where they wanted to. And she literally looked at me and shrugged. And I'm like, oh, okay. I feel much better now. Jordan, you mentioned Walmart, wealthier people shopping there. That is number one. Remarkable. Number two, Walmart, biggest retailer, I think, on the planet, except maybe Amazon. They're the first one out the gate with earnings. What else are you looking for from retailers?
Yeah, so this earnings period obviously covered the holiday season. So that's the most important time. So looking to see just how retailers in general fared. It was more of a normal holiday season than the past few years. A lot of the supply chain issues cleared up. A lot of the inventory issues came lower. But one of the things that Walmart mentioned was attracting the higher income shoppers. So it'll be interesting to see if other companies like Target and Macy's, which come out the next few weeks, say the same, say that they're seeing a difference with that higher income shopper and what they're buying.
Read the tea leaves for me, Jordan. Do you suppose that that is some kind of shift in consumer mentality at this point?
Yeah, it was interesting. When I was talking to the Walmart CFO, he mentioned that the food business has been really strong, which makes sense. That's what people have prioritized. But their general merchandise, like apparel and home decor, was weaker. But the reason why they actually gained market share was because those households making over 100K were actually buying more with Walmart. So it's like once you brought people in the door, they still did want to buy things just at a lower price.
Right.
So that might be a trend that we see this earnings season.
Everybody is looking for a deal. Jordan Holman at The New York Times, Catherine Rempel at The Washington Post on a Friday afternoon. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.